is a difficult piece to preach on. I've got a lot of pages here, but I'm going to try and not use it all, just purely because it's a lot of words, and it's not because of its super complexity or anything, but it's just because of the whole content of it. Here you can see this is one artist's interpretation of it, and it's meant to be scary and really emotive, to draw our emotions and things. And as people look at it, they tend to go into one or two of the dangers. One is to omit it altogether, just ignore it and don't read Daniel. Particularly this, from chapter 7 to move on up, they'll just cut it out. Others become overabsorbed in it and they spend a lot of time looking and trying to interpret all of the characters and the numbers and everything in it. If you had a Bible with you, I would just show you a few things, and that is, first of all, the Bible has this, the scholars have put a lot of work into these things, but as you read through, you can see normal spacing here, and then it moves into a bit of prose here, like a poem, a psalm, and then back to writing again, and then back to some prose. And the interesting thing is the way... Can we have the next one, please, Ken? Thank you. Just to remind you, it's a dream. It's a vision by night, and it's a terrifying vision. And scary stuff going on. Some of the language, you can see the emotive language for it. Terrifying, dreadful, devouring, exceedingly strong, breaking in pieces, stamping underfoot. This was the fourth beast. Now, looking at it, in the writings of it, this is Aramaic writing, which means that's available to all of Babylon. It started in chapter 2 right through to here. Chapter 7 is the end of that bracket of Aramaic writing. So clearly it's part of the other, and yet it's the start of something new. It's a start of visions and things, and it's also going back in history. You can see the historical markers I've put up. It's in the first year of Belshazzar, about 553 BC. Daniel had already been there a lot of years. He's getting up into his 70s by now. Belshazzar, you might remember, I told you before, that he was a co-regent with Nabonidus. Nabonidus was the king over it all, but Belshazzar was put there and he had all the authority of king. People called him king. You can see the parallels running through, because as you look at Daniel 2, the golden head, clearly Daniel relates that to Nebuchadnezzar. You might remember that Nebuchadnezzar, when he went out of his mind and was a bit insane, his hair grew, looked all sticky out and everything like feathers. His nails were just... He did not look after himself, clearly. He went into a level of insanity. And also Jeremiah calls him, names him, like a lion and an eagle. So we've got those. The parallel between the two, the four beasts, Babylon, the Medo-Persians, that was Darius or Cyrus. Then we come to the Grecian and Roman empires. Rome, we believe, is the iron, with the iron teeth and everything. So if you move to the next one, this is where the poetry starts. It kind of moves along. Now, there's a lot of things that I could tell you about all of this. If you're really interested, I'll just give you a copy of it. It's probably the easiest way, because I really want to try and paint the picture in a way that tells you these were fearful pictures. And something I want, when I say Ancient of Days or when I say Son of Man, what do you think of? Jesus. Who goes for Jesus on Son of Man? Yeah, you would normally, except Son of Man, right back in that time, Ezekiel was talking about Son of Man, and who was he speaking about? Speaking about himself. Who is this Son of Man that you'd care for him? He was talking about Adam. So we can't just jump there. The Son of Man, who is this one? And yet, we also do, because we can look and see the things. And when the throne comes up in this particular image, what happens is you've got these kings and powers coming up, causing havoc. And then the Ancient of Days comes in, and he gets the scroll. If you just go back to that one, please. Thank you. See, he's got the scrolls here, and he's on his seat of judgment. Judgment comes. What can you take away from that? I want to tell you that you should be able to take something really good, because what is happening here, this is why I don't want you to just jump to Son of Man, because what's happening is when Daniel is writing these things, he's looking. Do you remember when the people crossed over the Jordan into the Holy Land? Who can remember that? Yeah, a few of you. Others, you start to remember it because I've just told you. they crossed into the land, and the last group to go through, what did they pick up? They all picked up a stone. They represented the 12 tribes, and they put them together and they stacked them all up. And what did they call that? No, it wasn't an altar. They called it Ebenezer. Ebenezer, they said, thus far the Lord has brought us, and we must set up this marker, this Ebenezer, to recognize and mark and hold firm what God has done for us. So what I want you to take away from some of this are the Ebenezers along the way. Because Daniel, first of all, had the vision of the king. You remember, nobody could interpret it. Who interpreted it? No, Daniel didn't. God did, yes, and gave the interpretation to Daniel. So in that, we set up an Ebenezer. We say, here's God doing things, great things. And then what happened? The next thing is the four guys get put into the fiery furnace. What have we got there? Did God protect them, look after them? Yeah, they were put three in, and they saw four. Another Ebenezer there for us. Keep the markers as you go through. And as we look and we start putting those in, Daniel into the lion's den. Again, another time when God has been faithful and true. So in all of this, if we look now to the next one, this is meant, you can see the beasts are looking a little bit more humble there. That's because they're being judged. And that's a surety for us that God is just, that God will bring to justice. Don't you sometimes just think, Lord, why, you know, I cop a lot of flack at, well, I have copped, I don't know if you do, but I have copped a bit of flack at times in my life just by being a Christian, particularly in the workplace. And I can look and say, God is just. And that tells me, that gives me that marker that says, God was faithful there. And I know there are other times. We'll find them in the Bible as we go. There's more interpretation to come in this. But God will put the markers there for you so that you can see that God is just and faithful. And we can hold on to that for our dear life. We hold on to it, do we not? Okay. Let's have a look at what comes up next. This one. Now, having jumped to Son of Man as Jesus, I want to tell you that the scripture actually said he's like a Son of Man. Like a Son of Man. So he is more than just the Son of Man. We know that because he's called right into the presence of God. Not everybody gets to, we can't just walk into the presence of God except through Jesus, the one who he's just ushered in, and power is given, authority is given to him. This is like, I just put a little note there to say, is this a picture of the restoration of Eden? Back to when humanity took its place? You know, those things, people say something like, oh, I'm only human. You heard that? I'm only human. I say, slap yourself. Don't do that. There's no such thing. You were put as a crown of creation. Not only human, God set us up here. Yeah, we've fallen from it, but that's our aim. And always I'm looking to say, how do I get there? The next one, thanks, Ken. This just talks about the different kingdoms that come and the interpretation of it. And I put down his name right at the end there somewhere of all my notes. I just forgotten. Antiochus Epiphanes the IV. He was the king of Seleucia, the one who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem at 167. So some of those things we can look and say, God looks and knows what humanity's like. And he's prepared for all of that. And he wants us to be prepared for it. The message for Daniel was very clear. They will go back, his message to people, they'll go back to the Holy Land, but it's not going to be all beer and Skittles. There's going to be people against them. They're going to have to wade through a difficult world, but... And do you know what the but is? But God is on his throne. Comes in verse 26 here. If I'm remembering rightly, having read this thing so many times this week. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away. The evil one will be defeated. Some Bibles say then, and because some of those conjunctions are one word in Hebrew or Greek. So the thing that we can hold to is to say, yes, they were given that assurance, and actually also gave them assurances for later on when they come under persecution. We too can take away from that that there'll be times when life will get hard. Wasn't it difficult when COVID came and we couldn't get into church? Yeah, we can't meet together. We can't encourage. How are we going to do all of this? Encourage one another. Stay firm in our faith. But we've got past it. And we're getting past it more. And yet, we need to be careful. But that's getting on to COVID. Here, at the end of time, God will raise all things up. He will make all things different.
John, I think it's in 2 Peter where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah. What's it? 1 Corinthians, where I put it down because I knew I wouldn't remember. 10:13. No testing is going to overcome you that doesn't overcome other humans, but God has provided a way out. So here it is that God is for us, and this is reinforced all the time. Why do we need it reinforced? Because memories tend to leak a bit. We forget. We get involved in other things, and we start getting away and doing other things, and then pretty soon we forget who we are. My wife was reading out all the obituary notices for my mum. And she said, everybody's put one in. And I said, yeah. And she said, should we be putting something in? I said, what for? What do you put a notice in for? To tell the newspaper how you feel? Family know how I feel. My mum knows how I feel. And I actually don't think she's dead. I mean, she is to this world, but she's not to me. Because I know she stands with her Saviour. And I know, like the words of King David, he said, when he got up, after grieving his son, hoping that God would save him, when he finally died, he went, tidied himself up and cleaned up, and his attendants couldn't understand it. And they, because he'd been just about tearing his hair out before, and they said, are you okay? What's happened? He said, he can no longer come to me. I must go to him. And that's a journey, isn't it? We can't have those loved ones come straight back into this world, but we will go to them. And that's the assurances that we have. If we stay with God, and that's what Daniel is telling his people, that God is faithful and just and will see them through, and it's what he's telling us today. Is that something you can say amen to? Amen. Praise the Lord. So may he be with you this day. Now, if you'd really like to read all of this, you can. So let's stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born under Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and life everlasting. Amen. So let's pray for all people. Please be seated.